Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help, you save.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
They found the kids running and screaming for help. And then they had stated their mother told them to run as far and fast as they can. And she said one of the girls said that they stopped running when they couldn't hear their mom screaming anymore.
Shocking new details coming in as we learn more about the Devil's Den double homicide just outside of Fayetteville, Arkansas. My name is Tony Bruschi. Thank you for joining us. We have sat down with a 911 Washington County dispatch operator who was there at the time that the calls started coming in on Saturday the 26th from Devil's Den State Park. This is someone who heard those initial pleas for help, those initial cries, and also was extremely close to the voices of the children who knew that their parents were being murdered just down the trail. Oh, it was a lovely Saturday afternoon, sunny, warm. It should have been a great day. Instead, it ended in tragedy. Let's begin with this interview. And my first question for the 911 dispatcher, take us back to that afternoon. How did this all begin in the dispatch center? What happened as the initial calls started coming in?
Yeah, that day I worked 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. I had picked up coverage for someone who called in. So I'm normally not there until 2. Mm-hmm. And just before 2 o'clock, we start getting calls. I received a direct phone call from a young lady that worked there in the visitor center. And I had told her, oh, yeah, it sounds like we're already taking a call. And, you know, when we hear of kids being lost or something like that, that's what we were first thinking. Is it like they just maybe got separated from their parents? And then there was only 3 of us in the room at the time because it's not super busy on Saturdays.
Sure.
And the other 2 girls, you know, they're taking their calls and we all just kind of look at each other like, oh, no, this is going to be a big one.
So I'd like you to give me some perspective here. What exactly took place that from what we know how these children ended up? Tell me how what happened here between the parents not being with the children to the children getting into some safe custody. Walk me through that whole scenario.
From what I understand, the children were found by another set of adults. I'm not sure how many or if they were, you know, a couple or whatever. Another dispatcher took that portion of the call and they found the kids running and screaming for help. And then they had stated their mother told them to run as far and fast as they can. And she said she said one of the girls said that they stopped running when they couldn't hear their mom screaming anymore. That part still gets me. I have children as well.
Sure. No, I do too. I'm the same age as the parents, and I have a daughter very close to the same age, and we've hiked in that same place. And
I was just there not long ago with my family, and you know, my kids are a little older, but I mean, I've had kids in my life my entire life, and it just there's certain things that you have a soft spot for, no matter how seasoned we are in dispatch. It's just some things just kind of get you. And I mean, I've buried one of my own children, so I've lived a pretty hard life.
Sure.
So it takes a lot to get me choked up. And I remember, just kind of fast forwarding a bit, and I'll circle back, but I had to call state police because we just try to keep them informed with every detail we get.
Sure.
As soon as we started taking the call, we dispatch it out over our radios before we even have a form of BOLO. We just say, hey, this, we're taking a call BOLO for this type of vehicle. All we know is it's a black vehicle. You know, it's really not a lot to go on, but they may pay attention to one driving erratically that they wouldn't normally or something.
Sure. And I want to get to the vehicle in a few moments, but I want to talk.
You keep me in line because I talk.
Sure. No, I hear you. And there's so much to that we want to get across. Let's go back to the mother saying, run as far and as fast as you can. There's been reports that the father was initially, these are unconfirmed, that the father was initially attacked. Mm-hmm. The mom got back to the car with the kids, and then she went back. Can you confirm or dispel any of that?
I can't confirm that. It's not lining up with what I believe we were told in our initial call.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, other people found the kids running and crying, and they heard their mom specifically ask him, why are you doing this? So that's what we were told. And those girls were speaking directly to the park ranger that was speaking to one of our most senior dispatchers.
The child asking, why are you doing this? The children asking that to the perpetrator?
No, mom.
Mom, okay.
No, mom asked, why are you doing this? So dad was stabbed first.
Okay.
And I believe the initial attack was directly in his chest.
Oh God, okay.
According to the little girls.
Mm-hmm.
And there was people that brought them to the visitor center from somewhere along the path. I mean, from what we understand and looking at the map, they ran pretty far on their own.
Really? What portion of the park did this take place in?
I don't recall the name of but I remember it being the lower trail is what they were talking about.
Okay, that's what I've been hearing
too. I'm not sure what that really means. I've not been out there a lot. I've only been out there just near the waterfall and one of the paths close to that. So initially, you know, we're getting this call. We're just all kind of taking information. The main dispatcher was, you know, she called back because she had more questions. She wanted to talk directly to the children. And I remember her saying, you know, if you can't answer these questions, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But we were getting third-party information, and it's just kind of difficult. We want as much description as we can. So I called a park ranger back, and I was like, hey, I know you're, like, not able to probably answer or ask these questions, but whoever saw the vehicle, can they tell if it was a two-door or a four-door? Because initially, we had no idea.
Sure.
And that's where I got with that. But he had a female call me back, and she tried to give me as much as she could. I asked just, you know, because they kept calling it a sports car at first. And I was like, well, that could be a lot of things. Is it a muscle car or is it a foreign car? And so we were able to determine it was not a muscle car, at least, and go from there. But
let me ask you this. How people, obviously, we have witnesses, as far as we know, that saw this vehicle leaving, that saw this man leaving. What stood out? What made this man look like there was something about him to pay attention to versus everybody else coming and going from the park that day?
Well, I'm not sure who said it and where this determination came from, but somebody had mentioned he also had possibly had blood on him.
Okay.
And there were people saying, you know, that he just acted strange. And when he left, was the person I spoke with that gave the vehicle information, she said it was loud and he left so rapidly that it upset her that he was driving that way. Because at first, that's all she knew is like, gosh, he's driving like a jerk.
Yeah.
And
like a jerk, like a rear end, as in a like getting out of there fast, like escaping the scene, kind of that sort of a okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what caught her attention. So that's why she was only able to really see the rear end of the car from what she described to me. That's how come she couldn't tell me whether it was two door or four doors. Sure. But, so I just asked her, okay, well then were the taillights red or white or clear? You know, there's different colors of taillights. And so we started there and she said they were red taillights. And I didn't see state mention any of that. Maybe it's not important to them, but if I were trying to identify a car, I'd want every detail.
Yeah, everything is important. Any small detail that people don't even realize they may have is important right now, especially in the first 24 to 48 hours, which we're still in. What other things did you hear from other people who had called in to the dispatch center with their experiences? Obviously, you heard from the folks that we talked to, but I imagine there was others that called in that day. What other experiences did you hear?
Well, we had a lot of people calling and just asking, am I safe? Is it okay? Mm-hmm. You know, and what's going on? And it's a really difficult question for us to answer because we're not allowed to really say, because if you don't feel safe, you don't feel safe. Mm-hmm. And if it were me, I would not feel safe, because at this time, we still have not determined if there was any connection or if this was a random attack. Yeah. And we all personally just believe it, even though stabbings are typically personal, we believe that this was an ambush attack. He just decided to, that was them, because they're new here. So we're trying to figure out what kind of connection they could have possibly had.
Yeah.
So I did speak to a couple other vehicle witnesses. They usually pass that kind of stuff off to me because they make fun of me. They say it's my TISM vehicles. There was a gentleman that called towards the end of my shift that I had been waiting. I was waiting for somebody who knew some details about vehicles, like kind of like I do. He also agreed that the vehicle was very loud. That's what caught his attention. He was out with his wife, I believe on a hill. They live out there. And he said, you know, what caught his attention is how loud the exhaust was. And just they sounded like they were driving really rapid. So he looked over and he was telling me, he's like, I saw a black vehicle, all blacked out, black on black, leaving. But he said it had a dual exhaust and four exhaust tips, so two on each side. And he believed it to be maybe a BMW or something. And I mentioned to him, well, I had another witness state that she believed it seemed like a Mazda. I said, so it sounds like we can all agree it's probably a foreign vehicle. Mm-hmm. And he said he would without a doubt 100% say it's a foreign vehicle. Mm-hmm. And I had asked him a few more questions. I had another lady that vehicle, I guess when she was leaving the park, almost hit her. And she said around 140 or 145, she thought, maybe somewhere in there. But she couldn't really remember what time she was heading to the park. Mm-hmm. He was leaving and almost hit her head on. So I asked her for a front end description. She said that the lights, like it was a low profile car. The lights were more fitted to the vehicle, like oblong. I asked about shape and everything. The other lady originally said that the lights, the tail lights were rounded or curved. Mm-hmm. So not square. And then the second two people could tell me for certain it was a four door. So that was helpful.
Are there any cameras in the park that would have caught the vehicle on camera where we would, or do they have that? I'm surprised we don't have more information out to the public
yet. I know.
That's my biggest thing, because I cover hundreds of these cases all over the country, and this is the time that the public needs this information.
Because they can look.
This is now. And you're going to lose them if we don't. We need a clear vehicle description if it's available. And we have plenty of eyewitnesses that we could get a sketch done. I don't know why we don't have one done yet. I'm not trying to be critical here, but my God.
No, I was frustrated because I also initially asked the ranger. I said, well, can you start asking people that are there? Have they taken pictures? Everybody takes pictures. Yeah. There's always pictures of cars in the background. They may not know what they have. I was like, send them all to me. I have time.
Yeah.
I will look at them. I can tell you for certain, almost every vehicle that ever crosses my path, I can tell you what year, make, and model it is.
Yeah.
Just by little, even if like a Kia Optima, the sure. years that they had the side markers on the side, yeah. I know those things. Yeah. It was just like really hard for me because that's something I can do. That's yeah. something I can help with.
Do we know and why they're not giving out much information yet? I mean, it's basic,
I think,
yeah.
I think it's because they believe this person will be watching social media. And then if they put too much information out there that they may already have, it could ruin the investigation for them. Mm-hmm. I do know that there was a young lady that posted initially on the Northwest Arkansas Bad Drivers page, mm-hmm. Where, you know, Highway 71 turns into College in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
And so there's a vehicle that's driving extremely erratically, passing people in the turning lane,
uh-huh.
you know, and it was that, and it's a black Ford Fusion, and it has red taillights that are rounded. Now, granted, that's not a foreign car,
yeah.
And I don't necessarily know that it had a loud exhaust, like the other two people said.
It may just be bad driver, which is why there's the Facebook page yeah. to begin with. Yeah,
right, but
yeah.
it did seem to have black tape over a paper tag. That's the number one.
That's
thing
a key piece.
Like.
That is very yeah.
Yeah, that yeah. But then you have to think, are there people doing this? Like, if this was random, maybe there's a group of people protesting something or just committing random acts of violence, and that's their thing. They're going to put tapes over their heads. You have no idea.
It's hard to...
There's so many different...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that would be a stretch of an assumption to make at this point, but it certainly
yeah.
is something that if it was being posted on the bad drivers of NWA, that will also give us more descriptions and more places to look for cameras, whether they be
right.
street cameras or whether they be store cameras or house cameras, Ring cameras, all of that. I would imagine
yeah.
we're going to find more info on this vehicle. The faster, the better to get that out, unless they already know who this man is, which if they do, bravo
yeah.
to them. That's great.
And
if you don't, we need the info.
The initial public below it was a police below. I'm not sure what the mm-hmm. public was able to hear. Did have a Mazda 6, mm-hmm. a 2012 Mazda 6.
Mm-hmm.
It was black in color, but it did not have tinted windows like everybody said, and it had a Connecticut plate.
Mm-hmm.
But that was later determined by one of our sergeants that, hey, that vehicle was here when the crime scene tape was up. Like, they were here as a couple going mm-hmm. hiking. Like,
so that was not the
they
vehicle.
They showed up afterwards. Yeah, it couldn't yeah. be them. So they took that part out of the bolo and just said yeah. that it's a four-door black, which is one of our most hated things, a white passenger car or a four-door black car. You know, those are like two of the most common cars ever.
Yeah.
So that's where I came into play. It was like, I at least determined it wasn't a muscle car because they kept calling it mm-hmm. a sports car. And a couple people thought maybe it was a more fancier, nicer model car. So mm-hmm. that's where I was like, okay, does it have any dents?
Yeah.
Stickers, scratches, paint damage, anything you can think of that would help identify the car. And the ladies all said, no, it seemed very new, very clean.
Uh-huh.
And one lady said it seemed more like a fancy Toyota. She's like, what's the upgraded model for a Toyota or a Honda? And mm-hmm. I said, well, it's either Acura or Lexus.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I think it could have been an Acura.
Yeah.
And then the man I spoke with, when I was speaking to him, I thought I had two people say it sounded like a stick shift because they were the same people that said it had a loud exhaust. The first
okay.
woman yeah. I spoke with, it's and I don't understand why they're not. I gave all that information to state, like, hey, two people have said this vehicle had a loud exhaust mm-hmm. and it sounded like a manual transmission. They don't make a lot of manual transmissions these days.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me think it could be
yeah.
an Acura.
Yeah.
There are some Toyotas and there's even Subarus that are six shifts. So like we can narrow it down somewhat.
Yeah, we can. I mean, it's the fog of war right now while all this is,
yeah.
is going on. I want to go back to the actual, the stabbing itself.
Mm-hmm.
As you said earlier, from what you believe in the reporting you got from the kids speaking, that the father was stabbed first. Do we know, I'm not trying to be gory or anything, but how many times? Was this multiple stab situation? Was this a quick, I mean, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I believe so, but I have not been told so. I just, from the sounds of the initial statements from the children, it sounds like they were possibly stabbed multiple times, mm-hmm. but they saw dad get stabbed in the chest and mom told them to run and she heard him, they heard her ask, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they said they just ran until they couldn't hear their mom screaming anymore.
Oh my God.
And
So the kids saw this happening is what we understand. Yes. They actually witnessed
yes,
it.
Yes, and they did call him a stranger. So to my knowledge, the kids do not know who he was. You never know what they might forget under trauma, but...
Sure. Has there been anything that you've seen or heard that points to any sort of direction on this guy, if he was just completely random out there and just chose this family, or if this was a targeted attack? I mean, it seems obviously it's insane to begin with, but to do this on a hot summer day in the middle of the afternoon on a very busy hiking trail, this should be a place you're going to get caught if you're going to do this thing. That's right, why it doesn't make a lot of sense. Yeah.
No, and then like everybody's saying, his clothing kind of stood out. People mm-hmm. obviously noticed him, but you don't realize what you notice until it's too late sometimes.
Sure.
I'm very glad that the other people saw his eyes, because you can tell a lot about a person about their eyes, and the fact that they said they were blue or green, that indicates that he's probably not Hispanic or Latino. Mm-hmm. I had one lady tell me he kind of had a tan, and it's not lying enough with everybody else.
In Arkansas in summer, that could be almost anyone.
I mean, yeah. Completely honest. One thing that me and another dispatcher discussed is we were initially told he was possibly wearing a black tank top. So we're mm-hmm. trying to figure out where the long sleeves came into play.
Yeah.
I'm assuming more credible witnesses that know mm-hmm. he for sure had long sleeves. So, or maybe at one point he had the tank top on and then he mm-hmm. put the long sleeve back on, or, you know, I don't know.
Or vice versa. Did it come off? Was he looking different, I wonder, before the stabbing and after the stabbing? Like, did he take something off
yeah.
and maybe he had blood stains or something of that nature?
Yeah. And see, somebody did mention that he possibly looked like he had blood on him. And I just don't know if that was creditable or not. His gloves were... he had on black gloves that were allegedly fingerless. So mm-hmm. that still stands true as far mm-hmm. as I know from everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just odd to wear that when you're not riding a bicycle out there. So
yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah. I have a friend that owns the car wash in West Fork and he has cameras. And I said, you know what? And we also immediately had Greenland and West Fork PD. I was working that radio. It's called Small Towns. And there's mm-hmm. 11 different agencies. As soon as I heard this was going on, I had them check Brentwood rest area because somebody could go there to clean up.
Sure.
It's easy river access too.
Mm-hmm.
So I had them go there. They checked all of their city and county limits. You know, we kind of all band together. And then I reached out to my friend that owns the car wash in West Fork and asked him to check his cameras for anyone dumping mm-hmm. stuff in the trash can and just looking suspicious, black or dark colored vehicle. And so he's going to do that. But I haven't been able to run that.
As of right now, as we're talking, has there been any leads on finding this vehicle at all?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
And I'm pretty good friends with the mm-hmm. director of state police's dispatch. I'm pretty good friends with Trubel's director of dispatch, and mm-hmm. she promised she would reach out to me if there was any updates. She was off duty as well, but so as far as I know, best of my knowledge is what's out there is as much as we've got. And they intend on updating the public, as soon as they know a direction to go.
Sure.
But sometimes I guess it's best. Until you have all the pieces, that it's best to keep the ones that you have in your pocket is how I guess they're going about it.
Yeah.
We Washington County initially went out there and mm-hmm. then it got turned over to state police because it is a state park.
I know the FBI has offered assistance. It's now up to the state to take that assistance. Do you know if they've accepted it yet?
I don't know if they've accepted, but I know that they wouldn't turn it down.
Okay.
I don't think at this point they would turn anybody's help down,
sure.
Especially an organization like the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even put it past them to accept the U.S. Marshals as well. As soon as we have an identification is probably when U.S. Marshals will get involved, if I had to guess. That's just how things have gone in the past.
Sure.
I'm hoping anybody and everybody... I mean, we've definitely doubled police presence, and, mm-hmm. and I know state police is known to bring in other troops. So, mm-hmm. like here, we have Troop L that does Benton County and Washington County and so on. And then we'll have Troop H. We had when we send out a BOLO and dispatch, it goes to all of NWA
mm-hmm.
Area. So, it goes to the state of Arkansas, basically, for the most part. Like, we'll send out a BOLO. So, we send out a terminal message via ACIC. Immediately to any agency, and we at first just thought at that time they were just wounded stabbing victims. We hadn't made contact with their bodies. Mm-hmm. So when we first sent that out, so then when we handed it over to state police, it's up to them to send out the the homicide bolo.
Sure.
And they did.
Yep.
So, but I remember as soon as I heard they were deceased, I gave that out. I said, this will be upgraded to a homicide bolo. Yeah. And so we consider him armed and dangerous. Obviously, we don't know any further. Use the knife, in my opinion, to avoid the sound of a gun. Because that's going to alert everybody.
That's the latest that we have for you right here. We are in Northwest Arkansas. We are covering this boots on the ground. Devil's Den State Park is only a short drive, actually, from our studios. So we are here and we are covering this for you as best as we can. Please press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage on this case and the many that we follow for you here at True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Hit subscribe wherever you're downloading the podcast, if that's where you're listening to us, or on YouTube. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi to find us there to watch our coverage on this case as well. And please, in the comment section, let us know your thoughts. If you were there, tell us your experiences. What did you see? What did you hear? Reach out to us directly and let us know as well. And please do reach out to authorities. Now is a very important time to do so, as long as you can get through. But there are many ways to do so. So please do not give up. Your voice does need to be heard. If you were there on Saturday the 26th at Devil's Den State Park, as this suspect is still a murderer, is still very much on the loose as of this recording. We will continue to keep you updated right here. My name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.